gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio. It's not the only program brought to you by RBN, but it is, RBN is the only 100% non-kosher certified free speech zone, which is great. That's a way of hitting two birds with one stone. Donate to RBN on the RBN, the republicbroadcasting.org website. Download the Koshertified app from nationalbugle.com. Koshertified, let's lead a non-Koshertified lifestyle, and let's start asking our politicians if they're kosher certified. Today I have with me Mark Collett, who is absolutely not kosher. Isn't your YouTube channel coming under some sort of kosher attack because it's not kosher certified? Could you explain that to us, please? And welcome to the show.
Well, it's great to be here. It's the best way to start the week, as I always say. But yes, I am under attack. I'm under heavy attack by groups of angry Jews who are taking it upon themselves to try and restrict my free speech, terrorize myself, and also to deny my family the right to exist. You know, 2 weeks into being a father, and these people are trying to take away my ability to earn money, take away my ability to produce YouTube videos, and to prevent me from essentially earning a living or being any way financially responsible for my daughter, because that's how these people operate. They operate in the most sickening ways. They are reporting maliciously about me, and this all is sprung from an article in the Sunday Times, which emerged yesterday, which made a number of ridiculous allegations about me, painted me as a neo-Nazi, and was very, very sparse with the facts, but very, very good at presenting certain historical occurrences in my political career in a very, very misleading way.
You know, I don't usually watch Alex Jones, but I did see a little bit of Alex Jones. I guess it was because I was looking for how he was going to treat this whole Jeffrey Epstein suicide. But I guess what I saw was recorded before Jeffrey Epstein. But he said something very interesting. This is something that might make me have to reconsider everything I'm doing. He said it's the Chinese communists who own Florida. It's the Chinese communists who own our politicians. And the Chinese communists dominate our society, and they're trying to repress anybody who would support the freedom axis of United States, Great Britain, and Israel.
Well,
I'm just leaving that hanging there.
The Chinese communists that are attacking me.
No, are you sure? Because don't they run Hollywood?
I'm very sure. Because, in fact, not only has this Jewish journalist written this smear article, and it's been retweeted and pushed by the official Auschwitz Twitter account,
okay,
which is busy circulating it.
So who is this journalist? Are you at freedom to say who this journalist is?
His name's Gabriel Pogrund.
Doesn't sound too Chinese to me.
He's certainly not. But the interesting thing about this is what you will find at the moment is he is doing his best to get me deplatformed, and he's summing up everything he does. Not just with that these people shouldn't pay me, not just that these people shouldn't have me monetized, but these people shouldn't have me on their sites at all. In fact, his big push at the moment is to get my account removed from YouTube. Now, I've not breached any of YouTube's conditions. I haven't said anything said or done anything on their platform that breaches any of their rules. Yet he is desperate to have this taken down, and he's trying to make out that thousands and thousands of pounds are being processed through YouTube, given to me, given to groups I support, and it's just absolutely absolutely sort of untrue. I mean, the fact of the matter is YouTube demonetized me months ago. I haven't received any payments from YouTube for months. I can't take super chats. I haven't been able to receive ad revenue for the best part of this year. So I don't make anything of being on YouTube. I'm on YouTube to spread a message. And for years, my channel wasn't monetized at all until I started doing what was then called This Week on the Alt-Right on my channel. And the only reason that became monetized was so that we could identify the people who are asking questions. Because we have so many people in the chat that that it's just impossible to collect questions unless they were appearing as super chats, right, which could be monitored. And since we've moved to the Entropy platform, which is the free speech alternative to super chats, that has a non-monetized chat function that we use every week. So these people are so off the mark.
Yeah,
on what they're reporting. I mean, the guy's
so your channel had only been monetized for what, 6 months at most?
It hasn't been monetized for long at all. I think it
just a few months.
Yeah, I mean, and look, the interesting thing is, this clown even managed to get my age wrong. In the opening paragraphs, he got my age wrong. This is what a great journalist he is. He couldn't even hop onto Wikipedia, and which has got my date of birth, my age, of course. He couldn't even hop onto Wikipedia and get my age right. He also managed to mention, he said, Mark Collett, who was arrested on charges of stirring up racial hatred. Well, yeah, I was. I was arrested and charged with 8 counts of incitement to racial hatred. And I was found unanimously not guilty on every single charge. Something he omits from the article, mm-hmm, because obviously his article is trying to paint a picture.
This is so typical.
Sorry, carry on.
I'm just saying that is so typical. They say you were arrested, and then they neglect to say that you were let off or that you were found not guilty on every charge unanimously. I'm just going to interject one little thing. We're just a few days ago, we had the fifth anniversary of the Ferguson riots and the Michael Brown incident. And when I was listening to this on the radio, I think it was NPR, they said, initial reports said that Michael Brown had his hands up and was saying, don't shoot. Okay, those might have been the initial reports, but all the sworn testimony from the witnesses before the grand jury were that he was approaching and attacking the officer. That whole hands up, don't shoot thing never happened. Nobody testified to that. All these black people who are actually testifying. So, yeah, maybe somebody said it to a journalist, or maybe a journalist made it up, and that's why it was initial reports. It's the same type of thing. So, yeah, you were accused of something. You were accused of something. Well, it's not just that's where it stopped. You were accused, and then there was a trial, and then you were found not guilty unanimously. And they neglect that part. How convenient.
Well, not only have they neglected it, but they're still trading off it to this day. You know, I was found not guilty. The whole thing was concluded back in 2007. And 12 years later, it's being brought up in the most disingenuous way possible. You know, I've had so many, I've produced so many YouTube videos. There's been over 100 episodes of This Week on the Alt-Right and Patriotic Weekly Review combined. I think there's been well over 100 of my weekly videos. There's been other videos, there's been interviews with people, and I've appeared on dozens and dozens of other streams, you know, whether it be with people like The Golden One, on debates on Lucy Brown's channel, on Happy Homelands with Ramsey Paul, with the wonderful Adam Green of No More News.
National Bugle Radio on the Republic
on Broadcasting National Bugle Network. Radio, dozens of episodes of The David Duke Show. I've been interviewed by Lacey Lynn, by Jean-Francois Garapé. I've been interviewed by Jesse Lee Peterson. I've done all of these videos, which total absolutely in the hundreds of videos. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to make out that I'm doing these really horrific things and saying these horrific things. Well, if I was, I wouldn't have hundreds and hundreds of active videos all over YouTube, because everything I say conforms to the strict UK race laws. Everything I say is within UK law, which is very important, because if it's within UK law, it is definitely within the bounds of freedom of speech in America, which is obviously where YouTube is hosted. But very interestingly, this is all coming at a time when it seems like Donald Trump is actually starting to act. Now, I believe tell me if I'm wrong, is the senator called Mitch McConnell?
Mitch McConnell, he is the Senate Majority Leader, which makes him the most important person in the Senate. He basically, exactly. He effectively runs the Senate.
And the other week, a group of Antifa, I was going to call them protesters, but they're not, Antifa terrorists, went to his house. They protested outside his house. They were shouting abuse. Mm. They were hollering.
Yeah.
And Mitch McConnell filmed this. And he put a snippet of it up on Twitter saying, this is the kind of, you know, this is the kind of behavior
yeah.
that Republicans, that conservatives, yeah. That those on the right have to put up with.
They,
at the hands
they
of
say
group.
That he and his Chinese wife are white supremacists.
Yeah. And the amazing thing about this is when he tweeted out what was happening, Twitter banned his account. So that's Twitter banning the Senate Majority Leader from being on Twitter for posting a video of Antifa besieging his home. And I think finally this has got through to Donald Trump. I think finally Donald Trump is now actually listening. And I was listening to Mark Dice this morning, and he was saying that there is now a presidential order, presidential executive order, being drafted as we speak to prevent any further censorship on social media. There is an executive order being prepared which will prevent social media companies banning accounts if they are speaking within the bounds of American free speech law. So that would be absolutely incredible. And I think these people are doubling down on their attacks on me now, because they're hoping to get me removed sometime before these new rules come in, sometimes before this executive order is passed. And it should be passed within the next couple of weeks, if rumours are to be true. But that's something which could have had a dramatic effect on your account also, which has been banned.
Right, my account's been banned. And, you know, I joke around a lot, but honestly, I think you are one of the most important voices to hear, because, I mean, everything you say, you investigate, you're very careful about what you say, and you're also very brave about what you say. So you do your best to say the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You make proposals that are very reasonable. So, you know, you're not talking about ethnically cleansing areas. You're not talking about kicking down doors. You talk about reversing incentives. Like right now, there's an incentive that Muslim immigration into Britain in particular, immigration in general, but Muslim immigration in particular, are incentivized. You'd like to take away the incentives. It's very reasonable. And also provide some incentives for people who are so inclined to relocate, which is all very reasonable. But that's what makes you the big danger. If people are, even if they're correct about identifying the problem, if the solutions that they propose are pie in the sky, unreasonable, things that the majority of white people could never get behind, you know, like kicking down doors or like that, those people aren't really the threat. The threat to the system comes from the people who, A, identify the problem correctly, not talking about Chinese communists, and then B, actually offer a viable way forward, a reasonable and viable way forward that could attract majoritarian support. And so that's why I think they are going after you. I mean, I'm not a big name. I didn't have a big YouTube channel, but they took me down, and it wouldn't be because of my massive following. It would be because I believe that's what I do as well.
Well, I definitely think that's something they fear. They fear people being reasonable. They fear genuine solutions. And I think one thing that they tend to actually like is people to give so-called, and how can I say this, radical solutions. And what I mean by radical solutions is when people have silly, unworkable solutions that might sound very good to a small selection of very angry people, but to normal people they sound quite horrific. So I will talk about, as we've said, incentives. I will say, you know, we need incentives to basically coerce people gently into leaving the UK, coerce people into leaving the Western world and returning to their country of origin in a safe, fair, peaceful manner where they are remunerated for being willing to leave. So if you're here and you're living off benefits, if you're here and you are taking the system for a ride, then I say maybe it's time we bought back your passport. Maybe it's time we took away these benefits and these incentives and gave you incentives to leave. Mm-hmm. And I think things like that are reasonable, they're legal, they are policies which are actually in force elsewhere in the world. And I think that's something that a lot of people could get behind. And when I say a lot of people could get behind, I mean normal people would get behind policies like that. But when people talk about kicking in doors, when people talk about violence, when people talk about doing things which are illegal, or let's not even say illegal, let's say immoral, because people have a moral code, and people, when they're looking at legislation, they think, well, okay, how would this legislation affect my family? How would this legislation affect my wife and children? How would I feel if this was rolled out and used against my family? And I think that people could get behind the idea of financial remuneration to buy back passports, financial remuneration to have a repatriation, a paid repatriation policy. But obviously people would be very slow to get behind any policy which is fanciful, any policy of rounding people up. And I do think people, I do think our enemies fear sensible dialogue. Our enemies like people or like individuals who they can hold up on a pedestal that don't actually have solutions, that don't actually have anything that could be sold in any meaningful way to the wider Western public. And I think that is one of the reasons they're so desperate to shut me down. Mm-hmm. They're so desperate to get me removed. But I obviously hope that YouTube don't remove me, because I have been very, very careful and very, very willing to ensure that I haven't broken any of their guidelines and that I am working within their guidelines to ensure that I meet the standards they have set on their platform.
Okay, I have a line of questioning that comes out of this. It's almost begged by what we've been talking about. And it's going to take us past the break, but I'm going to start now. So first off, the mayor of London is one Salik Khan, and he's not somebody that we're not in his fan club, obviously. But I just want to use him or the former Home Secretary, who was also a Muslim. His name slips my mind. What was his name?
Sajid Javid.
Right. So just these two, just as examples. Now they. Are they married?
I'm not sure if either of them are married. I honestly don't know.
Okay, I was just going to say, okay, well, you take somebody like that who wears a business suit. We hate their politics, right? Their politics are horrible. But I'm just using them as examples. They wear a business suit, and they're not wearing the Islamic clothing. If they have wives, are the wives wearing the full veil and everything? How do their wives dress? I don't know. But we're coming up on the break, but I just want to start asking you a line of questioning that's aimed at basically how many of these people might actually take up such an offer and decide to move to greener pastures. I mean, we know some people were certainly willing to take up ISIS's offer and move to the Islamic State. So there's a certain percentage. I want to get at how big that percentage is. We'll be right back.
Yeah. It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
And we are back. So I'm trying to get at how many people would take up this offer. Now, we know some people would certainly take it up because when ISIS made an offer of going to Syria or Iraq and killing a bunch of people in order to establish Islamic State, there was a not insignificant number of British Muslims who went over and took the ISIS offer. I think your offer is probably a lot more attractive than the ISIS offer. So a lot of people would take it up. Now, there are some people who, maybe they wear business suits and they speak English and their kids maybe don't even speak Urdu or whatever, and their wives might not wear the Islamic clothing. And so if you had a situation, this is what I'm getting at. If you had a situation where, A, there was an offer for remuneration for these people to go back, and, B, the welfare incentives for them to stay were removed, things like halal butchery are banned. Maybe, in France they've tried to do things like ban headscarves in public schools, right? Let's just say you banned the broadcasting of prayers, calls to prayer at least during certain hours or whatever, as a public nuisance. You start running society in in the benefit of the traditional population. The question becomes, how many Muslims would be willing to stay, what percentage of the Muslims would be willing to stay in a Britain that's not bending over backwards for them, but is run for the benefit of the British population? How many Muslims would be willing to stay there, not to fight against that, but to accept it? What do you think the percentage would be?
Well, I'm not sure, but what I will say is there is a huge number of Muslims on benefits. Now, I don't actually have the figures in front of me, but I have quoted them before. It is a very, very high percentage of the Muslim population are actually on some kind of benefit. I think it's over 50% overall. So that's a huge number, absolutely huge number of people on benefits. Now, when you're actually looking at a population that is that heavily on benefits, if you were to remove those benefits and demand they work, if you are to take those benefits away and ensure that they do something gainful, if you are to take away much of the pandering, and you gave a very good example. You see, if they do a call to prayer at, let's say, I don't know, you know, if they do a call to prayer at, let's say, 3 p.m, I'm not going to get too hot under the collar about that. That's not something that would be easy for you to legislate against. But let's say they're doing calls to prayer at, what can we say?
7 a.m.? 7 a.m.?
7 a.m. You know, if they're doing these through the middle of the night, which they do in some areas, because, you know, some areas are now so Islamic that they do these calls to prayer at crazy times of the day and night. And if they're doing things at crazy times of the day and night, why should they be getting away with it? You know, if I was marauding down the street, banging a drum and making an awful noise at 5 a.m., that would be completely unacceptable, and rightly so. You know, no one should be behaving in such an antisocial way. But these people do that. But obviously, it's all done under the guise of religion, and because it's done under the guise of religion, these people get away with it. You know, it's tolerated, it's smiled upon. And obviously, if you were to ban that, that wouldn't be something that was outrageous. It wouldn't be a law that would be unpopular. In fact, it would be completely popular, completely just, and completely in line with English or British sensibilities, because it's absolutely unprecedented to have people making an insane amount of noise at that time of the morning. This is something that's just completely unprecedented. But for the Muslim community, it is tolerated, it is smiled upon, it is something that the government turns a blind eye to, yet it is deeply, deeply antisocial, absolutely antisocial. And I think if there was a government that passed sensible laws like that, it would cause many Muslims, many practicing Muslims, to say, well, I can't live in a country though where there isn't calls to prayer. And really, this isn't something we should even be talking about, is it? Let's be absolutely honest here. Why can't these people set their alarm clocks? You know, it's not like we live in a country that lacks a alarm.
And of course, this is a custom that comes from a place and time where they had no alarm clocks.
Exactly. But the fact is, they do this. They enjoy doing this. It's part of their culture. It's part of their way of life. And again, I am absolutely 112% happy for these people to carry out this madness in their own countries. If they want to have people wailing throughout the night, waking everyone up, you know, upsetting sleeping babies, disturbing, you know, mums with kids, if they want to do that, you know, well, I'm all for that.
We're coming up on the break, and I want to hear what you have to say on the rest of the break. But let me just say, last time I was in Indonesia, I was walking down the street, there was a call to prayer. Everybody ignored it. Nobody prayed. So I don't know what it's all about. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
And we are back. So, call to prayer. Why don't these people have alarm clocks?
Well, exactly.
Is there an app for that? Because I think they all have cell phones.
They certainly do. And I think we're coming to a point here where we can see that their activities are not really conducive to the British or English way of life. Many people are unhappy with the level of colonization that has taken place. And we're really looking at something where a position where a lot of people would actually vote for sensible policies. So people who put forward sensible policies are often attacked, they're demonized, they are the ones deplatformed. Because, I mean, as I said earlier, let's face it, our enemies would absolutely love to have somebody who is completely unpalatable, somebody who is completely unreasonable, somebody who is calling for very, very unpalatable non-solutions, and hold them up almost as if they're the big right-wing boogeyman that everyone should be scared of, that everyone should fear, and that everyone should point at and say, that's why we will never, ever tolerate somebody like you, or that's why we'll never tolerate these ideas. And I think it's very important that we present the opposite image to that. I think it's very, very important that we put forward policies and ideas and solutions that could actually work in the real world, and that actually have validity, that are actually workable, real-world solutions that people can warm to. And I would say that's definitely a reason why these people are so desperate to get me banned. And also there's another big reason why they want to get me banned. It's because I humiliated them. The guy who, I believe the journalist who has started this, is someone that worked for or has connections at least with one of the publications that scolded the Israel advocacy movement daring to debate me. And I believe that some of this is actually being done as their little way to say, look, you know, we scolded you for debating him, but now we're going to punish him.
Oh, they wouldn't go after somebody just because that person won a debate or was associated with the winning side. They would never do that.
Well, I think these people are very unscrupulous, and they like to win at any cost. And although they are the first to cry out in pain when they claim they're being wronged, they are also a group that they will do anything to win, literally anything to win.
They call out, influent Chinese, right? Okay, so I have that same line of questioning. I want to go down a little bit further. I guess, and then I also want to bring up Andrew Anglin, so don't let me forget that. But so here's the thing. There's a certain proportion of people who, if you take away the these perverse incentives, welfare benefits that attract them here in the first place, and then also start enforcing rules that, you know, like what we're talking about, like calls for prayer in the middle of the night or early in the morning, ban on halal butchery and things like that. Start, you know, that the headscarves in public schools or what have you. You basically say, if it's not British for the British, at least it's Brit. If not Britain for the British, at least Britain for the people who accept the British way of life, which is CivNat. It's CivNat, but even something like that, you would have a lot of people leave. Now, out of the people who would stay, you might have two types. One type are people who really are okay with the British way of life. I don't know how big that is. And then you might have some people who would stay in spite of it and may try to make themselves a nuisance or combat it or whatever. Do you have any idea, do you have any rough estimates, given what you know about the Muslim population, have any idea how many people would leave, how many people would stay but still be a problem, and how many people would be willing to say, I'll, if not give up my religion altogether, I will at least give up the way of life and become as British as possible. Do you have any ideas about that?
Any estimates? Well, I do think there are some, how can I call them, secular Muslims. There are some Muslims, a small percentage, who generally get on with life, who could put their religion to one side. They don't wear the full face covering. They aren't creating, you know, large numbers of problems.
Could they identify, these people you're talking about, could they possibly identify more with white British than with Muslims overseas, for instance?
I think there's a small amount that would, and they're generally people who are in employment. They're generally people that you wouldn't notice as part of the problem. And this is a very important distinction to make here. There are people out there who are very much part of the problem. You see people who wear the full face veil, the men who walk around in what looks like their pajamas with the huge beards, people who sit on benefits, people who have supported groups like ISIS, people who have been part of congregations at mosques which have been linked to hate preaching, and who have been very, very vocally anti-British. There have been people who have been involved in the grooming scandal. Now, these are all people who we don't want in the UK. These are people who aren't trying to integrate. They aren't living by our rules, by our laws. They're not doing things in a way that is right or is British, can we say. They're not trying to live like a European, you know, as Europeans do. And these people are obviously not welcome. But I think they'd be the people who are most likely to go back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the small minority of Muslims who are living here as British Muslims, who actually have to some degree embraced the British way of life, who to some degree have tried to fit in, who have assimilated. They may have retained certain aspects of their culture, and they may practice their religion behind closed doors, but they are certainly not creating a huge problem. I think those people would be the ones that would obviously stay.
Mm-hmm.
They would be the ones that wouldn't leave. They'd be the ones that would be likely to remain in the UK. And I don't think that many people would have too much of a problem with them remaining.
So
I don't think that...
You think that people would accept a certain amount of water under the bridge, and that's good enough for that's good enough to be a solution. That most of the people who are causing the problems leave. Those who remain are mostly in, you know, not causing problems. And for most people, most of your listeners, most of your followers, that's good enough. Is that what we're talking about?
Over 50% of the Muslim population are on some form mm-hmm. of state benefit. And once that was removed, once they had to abide by our laws, and once they were offered a healthy sum.
And once that state benefit is tied to repatriation, right? In effect. If they're here for the benefits, make the benefits the return ticket, right?
Yeah, they would leave, and we would see a vast reduction in the Muslim population. We would also do something very bold. You see, I find it amazing that these journalists, these crooked journalists, want to have people like me investigated for simply holding an opinion. Now, I'm espousing my opinions very openly in the public space. I'm on YouTube speaking very openly. There isn't really anything too sinister about that. And let me explain why. If I was breaking the law, if I was stirring things up, if I was advocating for violence, and I am completely against advocacy for violence, I'm completely against any kind of violent solution. But if I was advocating for those things, there would be a huge uproar, a genuine uproar, because I could quite easily be taken off YouTube, I could quite easily be arrested, I could quite easily be hoiked up in front of a court tomorrow if I was doing something that was genuinely abhorrent, that was genuinely evil, that was genuinely against British law, that was inciting violence and or terrorism. I'd be in big trouble, but I'm not. Now, one thing that I would speak out about is we have a problem with hate preachers in this country, with Muslim preachers, with imams in mosques who are preaching hate. Now, they're not doing this on YouTube. They're not doing it in the public space. They're doing this behind closed doors. They're doing this in their own languages. They're doing this in a way that is very, very difficult to monitor. It is very, very difficult to get a grip of how many people are involved in this. And it's a very sensitive subject because when police raid mosques, in the few occasions they have to take their shoes off. Imagine that. Imagine police going into a mosque, and before they storm in, they're all unlacing their boots outside because they don't want to show disrespect. I mean, that's how ridiculous it is. So the police are really tiptoeing around using kid gloves, and there has never been proper investigation into these Islamic-only schools, into what is being said in these mosques. There just isn't. There isn't any genuine investigation into these things. And ultimately, I would investigate this. I would use British laws. I would use the British police force. I would use Britain's intelligence services to actually find out what was going on behind closed doors in these mosques, because the fact of the matter is these mosques do pose a threat to the British way of life. They do pose a threat to the safety of the British people, and we know that some of these mosques where hate preachers have been active have been recruiting grounds for ISIS. Now, why is this being allowed to go on? Well, I'll tell you quite simply, it's allowed to go on because no British government will actually dare tackle any of these mosques because it's a hot potato. It's a political hot potato.
Except and now that Boris Johnson's come along, all bets are off, right?
Oh, well, Boris Johnson. Boris Johnson's. I said in my video this week that, you know, could anyone be worse than Theresa May? Well, you know, it's kind of like that meme, isn't it, where somebody says, you know, could anyone do worse than Theresa May? And Boris Johnson is like, well, hold my beer. He's going for it. You're thinking to yourself, well, how can anyone be worse than Theresa May? Theresa May had the worst record of Home Secretary. She let over 650,000 migrants in legally in 2016. She then let in over 200,000 of illegal immigrants, or 200,000 illegal immigrants snuck in. That's 850,000 in a single year. That's just the ones she's admitting to. This is a huge number of people. How could anyone be worse than this? Well, one of the first things that Boris Johnson did when he got in, after he'd finished being very blustery about the issue of Brexit, because obviously what he's saying to people is, vote for me, I'm the establishment man that you can trust, don't stray from the establishment, trust me. That's the first thing he said. But after saying that, he said some other things which were far more notable than the first thing he said. And what he said was that he wants an amnesty for over 500,000 illegal immigrants living in the UK. He wants an amnesty. And to not give them an amnesty would be a scandal, would be opening the country up to an unfair scandal, which would treat these people in an inhumane way. So that in itself is worrying.
Maybe he could build a wall in the English Channel.
Well, secondly, he said that he would like to ensure all European migrants that after Brexit they will have the right to remain and make England their home. So that's essentially two amnesties. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that,
and a lot of those, some of those European migrants, that includes how many gypsies would be included in that?
Well, that's the thing. But it gets worse, Patrick. It doesn't end there. You're thinking, well, how could it get worse? How could it get worse than this? Well, he has said quite clearly that he is not interested in playing the numbers game when it comes to migration. He's not interested in playing the numbers game. The only thing he is interested in when it comes to migration is that he controls migrants, i.e. that he's the one giving out the passports. As long as he's the one giving out the passports, he does not want to set an upper limit on migration. Now, for the past few years, the Conservative Party has pledged repeatedly, failed to do so, but pledged to get immigration numbers down to the tens of thousands. Not the hundreds, but the tens. And he has said he will not be repeating that pledge. That pledge will no longer stand. And that he wants there to be no upper limit whatsoever on migration into the UK. No upper limit whatsoever on migration into the UK. Now, that's insane. Because he's basically saying that the way he's going to do this, and this is to please... the general public. He says, oh, but what I will be doing is putting in an Australian points-based system. And you can hear now all the Conservatives absolutely cheering. Wow, you know, Australian points-based system, that'll be the best thing ever.
Have you been to Sydney lately?
Well,
I mean, I could send you a picture of my last trip to Sydney, and you would just see just like a massive crowd of, I guess they're Chinese, maybe there's some Vietnamese, and not a single white in the middle of Sydney.
Well, my issue with an Australian points-based system is based around the idea that who is setting the points? Well, if Boris Johnson and his cronies are setting the points, are setting up this point-based system, are the ones drawing up the legislation, that's a little bit worrying, because these are the people who we are trusting to put this whole points-based system into practice. But they're the same people who are absolute globalists, who want no upper limit. So here's a guy who says, I want no upper limit on migration, but I want an Australian points-based system, because that will be a way that I can control immigration. And then obviously all the conservatives start clapping like seals because they're like, oh my God, this is going to be superb. It'll be an Australian points-based system. Because everyone's got this insane idea into their head that an Australian points-based system immediately means only the best come in. Well, Australia's being overrun by migrants.
And migrants, and not always the best, because you got all these South Sudanese in Melbourne who go around beating up people.
No, exactly. I'm under no delusions over what this actually means. I believe that Boris Johnson is basically saying, we're going to let all the people here illegally stay, we're going to let all the European migrants stay, and on top of that, we're going to have an open-door immigration system, which he's totally fine with as long as he's the one handing out the passports. As long as he can monetize these people, and at the end of it all claim that GDP rise, there was a rise in GDP because of this, he does not give a damn. And that is Boris Johnson down to a T. That's Conservatives down to a T.
Okay, well, we will be right back.
So, have you heard of heavy metals? I'm not talking about the heavy metals in the junkyard. I'm talking about the heavy metals that build up in your body. Heavy metals in your body can make you feel sluggish, fatigued, and just plain off. Why not try Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com? Cleansing your body and making you feel great. No, not cleansing the outside of your body, but cleansing the inside of your body of intruders that sneak their way into you and set up an intruder camp. Life Change Tea helps remove unwanted intruder camps. Brew it, steep it, and drink in the results. Tastes great so you can create a new health habit. Our tea loves to help people. It just needs the chance. So order yours today by logging on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Our Life Change Super Strength Tea is waiting. This could be a beautiful relationship. Take charge of your health. Order at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We are back, and I just wanted to bring up on this show a little teaser. I'm going to try to do a bigger segment on it later in the week, but I thought Andrew Anglin, he had an interview about, not this past weekend, but I think the weekend before, on the Crypto Report by Asmodor, who is like, I guess he's a Bigfoot lookalike from Texas, and he has a podcast that's exclusively on the Daily Stormer. Now, Andrew Anglin's an interesting person. When you read the Daily Stormer, he's over the top. He's very funny, and he's over the top and just very extreme. When you listen to him, when he's speaking, he's not nearly as funny. And he's also much more reasonable. And in this latest interview, he was saying, well, you know, we tried the Charlottesville thing. It didn't work out. We've tried, white nationalism, talking about ethnostates. And he said he doesn't think that's really the way forward, that just probably simply talking about rights of white people. Now, Britain's a different situation. I think talking about nationalism in Britain makes a lot of sense because there was a well-defined British nation, because you're aboriginal to the British Isles. In the United States, maybe, I've always considered myself a supporter of white nationalism, even if not necessarily like a white nationalist at heart, but I think really people who identify as white nationalists or would be identified by others as white nationalists are the people who have been talking about the core issue of, you know, Jewish control over the United States. Lately, the past few weeks, I've been pushing this idea, at least in the United States, of white advocacy, because that prompts the question, well, why do whites need advocates if, they control everything? Well, then that invites a whole conversation about who really controls things. I don't know. I just thought I'd bring that up. I'll be talking about it later in the week, but
Throw something in on this.
Please do.
I think it's an excellent idea, and I think one of the very best things we can do is stylize our movement as a rights movement, as a civil rights movement. One of the things that really played into this was the it's okay to be white posters. Mm-hmm. You know, to simply say it's okay to be white has become a heretical statement. Yeah. It caused outrage. People were saying racist posters appear on campus. Racist? Racist for saying it's okay to be white? It's just, you know, it's okay, you can be white, that's not a problem. Well, for that to be seen as racist, for that to be characterized as hate speech, shows how insane the anti-white rhetoric is becoming. But it was very important because that poster proved how vehemently anti-white the system was. And to have a white advocacy movement, a movement that is absolutely pro-white civil rights, is extremely important. And it's important because it doesn't paint us as the aggressors, but it points out that the system around us, that the establishment, that the media, that Hollywood and the press, they are the aggressors. They are the ones pushing this anti-white narrative. But most importantly, it paints them as the unreasonable ones. Because if they're the side getting their knickers in a twist, getting het up, going berserk over whites claiming it's simply okay for white people to exist, then really that group is recruiting for us, and the best way for us to take advantage of that hysterical response by the establishment is to do exactly what Andrew Anglin's saying, and I wholeheartedly support his stance on this. I think our movement needs to be populist in its initial talking points. It needs to be pro-white, white advocacy, and then people, when they have entered that movement, they need to then be spoken to, they need to be given literature, and they need to be educated and enlightened on who is behind what is happening.
Absolutely.
And why it is happening. But that is something that comes with time. It's not something that comes immediately.
And time is something we don't have any more of on this show, unfortunately.
Oh, well, maybe time for another week.
But, but also there's time on Patriotic Weekly Review. Isn't that what it's called?
It is, and it's out on Wednesday. And our special guest is Frodo Midyard.
That should be great. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Mark. And we look forward to seeing you next week and also on the Patriotic Weekly Review on Wednesday. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Weekly Radio. Thank you.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.